Good morning. Everybody having a good time of fellowship this morning? Like I say, you know how it is with Christian folk and especially Baptist folk. We like to talk. It's kind of like starting class. You know, the teacher comes in, it's like, shh, okay, everybody, but hey, listen. Fellowship is good, amen?
Amen.
And the reason why is because God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. God is good. Look around, wave at somebody. I know you've been talking to each other. I'm not going to get you to shake a hand yet, but give somebody a good smile today. Give them a good wave. Let them know that you're glad to be here and that you're happy that they're here as well. If you are part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our infamous Dr. Cazito back there. He loves to be worked to death. Tell Dr. Cazito hello. So listen, if you're watching online, be sure to do that right now. Don't try to hide in the peripheral. Be sure to give him a good hello. Once again, we thank Dr. Cazito for being a part of our online community and interacting with folks. As you may not have the opportunity to be in the Lord's house with us today, at least you have the opportunity to be able to catch it either online, live, or maybe a little bit later on this week, depending on what your schedule is. But we're glad that you're here today. We are here to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And like I say, we've had to make a lot of adjustments. I was talking to Brad, and he said my middle name ought to be Audible. I have to call an Audible because of changes. But as we continue to navigate the pandemic, we've had folks that have had exposures to COVID, which changes our schedule. So like I said, not directly related to our church, but folks who feel like it's best not to come and share that love with brothers and sisters in Christ, which we're happy for. So just keep them in your prayers. We don't necessarily want to call out names or anything, because we kind of have a worldwide audience. But nonetheless, be sure to pray for those who have had COVID exposures. We just pray that they get through A, and not get it, and B, those that have it, that will be well. That's what we're looking forward to. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you once again, we are grateful and thankful for this opportunity. Lord, today as I come to you, I think of the many people around the world today who don't have the freedoms that we have to be able to gather in peace and in freedom. Lord, I think about those who are having to be in places off the radar to be able to worship you, and the joy that they have today as they come around your throne as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, today I pray that you will help us to better understand that. Lord, help us to be thankful for the opportunities that we have just to gather in your house to worship you, to lift up our voice in song, and to gather around your word. And Lord, we do ask that you would speak to us, each and every one of us today, in a very special way. For we know that your word promises where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. And Father, you're here. Help us to have ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today as we come around your word and as we praise you. Lord, help us to just forget about the things that trouble us for right now and to have peace in your presence. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through song. Speak to us through whichever manner that you choose to get our attention today. And may we be careful to hear your still small voice. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning.
Got that last week. Very nice. We're going to start off. As he mentioned this morning, the audible we had is last night. We were supposed to have a picture of all the brass back there and the woodwinds. We had a wind ensemble today, and I had already selected number 58. Well, you can be turning to that if you want to, but it's Like a River Glorious, and we were going to have brass for that, so we canceled that this morning, and so grateful for the worship team here today. So if you would please stand with me as we sing Like a River Glorious.
Perfect land and flow, it's all that I've been.
as we celebrate this time of Thanksgiving. Our next two songs, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. And I'd like to just put a little save the date, if I may, December 19th. And we'll have more information about that. But December 19th in the evening at 6 o'clock p.m., we're going to have an evening of Christmas music. And it'll be instrumental, and the voices of praise and the carols we'll sing, and we'll be following with refreshments afterwards. So be more on that, but just want to put that out a little month or so out, December 19th at 6 p.m. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Number 636, We Gather Together.
Everybody have big plans for this week? This week's a pretty special week, isn't it? Some of y'all are going, what's this week? What is this week? Thanksgiving. Time when we pause, we spend time with family and friends, and a time when we're called upon to be grateful and thankful for the things that we have. Now, in the life of a Christian, that shouldn't be something that we have to have an annual reminder for. It should be something that comes natural for us, and not just once a year, but it should be something that should come to each and every one of us on a daily basis. Every day when we get up, We need to thank God. Yeah, and the other thing, too, that for me, it's exciting. How many of you, when you got up this morning, and I hope, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but thought to yourself, you know what, I opened my eyes today, I got out of bed on my feet, God still has plans for me. And not only does He still have plans for me, they are plans not to do us any harm, to, you know, to prosper us as we follow Him. So if you're living and breathing and listening to me today, God's not finished with you yet. That should be an exciting thing for each and every one of us. Now, if you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Habakkuk chapter 3. Some of you are going, wait, what? Well, that's not one of those new ones. It's easy to find. But Habakkuk chapter 3, we're going to be looking at a thankful prophet. Yeah, as we consider Thanksgiving and we think about the times that we've had over the years, I can still remember when I was in elementary school. How many of y'all remember when you were elementary school? Think way back, you know, and you celebrate Thanksgiving and you had made the little craft type things and your teachers would talk to you about the story of the pilgrims. About how things went for them and what that first Thanksgiving as we know it was like. As I picture that, I think about the fact that here were the pilgrims in a new land and they were trudging new ground. They were plowing new territory. This was different for them. The good harvest that they had for that particular Thanksgiving and many of the good harvests that we have had since that time. But see, they didn't really get into the fact, not a lot of the teachers, and some of them didn't necessarily get into the fact that there were times of hardship for those pilgrims as well. That as they came together and gave thanks to the Lord for all the bounty that they had, they did so in spite of losing half of their number during that day. Did you think about that? Now, for you and I, as we consider this, some of us, and I've heard this, particularly last year and coming into this year, that, well, this just doesn't seem like Thanksgiving. It doesn't seem right. Something seems out of kilter, or, there's just so much that's going on that it's hard for me to get into the Thanksgiving mode. Folks, I want us to be cautioned today out of the Word of God, and for our lives in particular, specifically because of the fact that our faith shouldn't be based upon our circumstances. Y'all have heard me say that. I've jumped up and down in this pulpit for years and years and years and talked about the fact that our peace and our joy shouldn't come from our ever-changing outward circumstances. Our circumstances have changed a lot in the past year and a half, almost 2 years, right? Yeah, it's put a crimp in our style. All the things that we ever do, and we've either done one of two things: we've either allowed that to control us and steal our joy, or we have adapted and realized that none of this has taken God by surprise. You've heard me say that over and over again. God knows exactly where we are. Sometimes God has to shake us up a little bit. It's like the snow globes. I can say that now because we're getting fairly close to Christmas. But you see those snow globes that are sitting there and they have this beautiful little scene in them and then they've got all the little glitter in the bottom of them. Yeah, what do? You pick that sucker up and you shake it because you want to see it snow or you want to see the little glittery thing go off. Doesn't matter. I don't care if you're 8 to 80, blind, crippled, or half crazy. If you see a snow globe, you're going to pick it up and shake it. That's what you do. All right. I think sometimes God gets a hold of us and shakes us a little bit. He sits back and says, you've gotten too much in tune with the norm. And let me tell you something. Let me make you a promise. God doesn't necessarily like a rut. God doesn't necessarily like the norm. Because you ever notice what happens is when we go on cruise control, we miss too much, don't we? Yeah, have you ever thought about that? Now, for me, one of the interesting things, most of the time I am driving an automobile when I'm going somewhere. I have caught myself at times when I haven't been driving, looking at scenery that I've never seen before. Have you ever done that? And the reason why is because I've been too busy focused on driving, and I said to her, when did they build that house? And Blake and Jan will say, about a decade ago. I'm like, well, that's new. When did this happen? When did that take place? They look at me like I'm like, what? It's like, that's always been there. Well, see, too many times I think we get to the point where we go on cruise control and we miss the things that God has in store for us. We just drive right past them. Now, I've told each and every one of you all before, don't get mad at me if you pass me going down the road in the car and I don't wave at you. Okay? Now I've told you, let me tell you why. Because I didn't see you. If I see you, I'm going to wave at you. Now, I know people in my life that are too busy looking at everything except the road and what they're supposed to be looking at. Some of you all resemble that remark. You're just checking things out, and the car in front of you stopped. You're still doing 60, going, hey, when did they have that? Y'all are looking at each other. I see that. I know some of you are like that. Yeah. But God wants us to trust Him on a daily basis. And in the midst of things that look bad, I want to put it like this. Oftentimes we will look to God when our foundations are shaking only to realize that it is God who is shaking our foundations. He's picking our snow globe up and He's shaking it a little bit. So when we get over into the book of Habakkuk, things were not going well. Yeah, there was a lot of problems. There were a lot of issues. And yet, even through the midst of prayers and even through the midst of listing these things, Habakkuk, as he ends, particularly chapter 3, comes out and makes an incredible statement that I think should each and every one of us should take to heart. Let's look at it. Habakkuk chapter 3, we're going to begin reading at verse 17. Habakkuk chapter 3. Beginning with verse 17, it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy and the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You now, Lord, we honor Your word. Your word actually speaks of itself when it says it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Today, Lord, may this be the encouragement that each of us need. Lord, to not be so caught up and so wrapped up in the situations and the circumstances that are going on in our presence and around us, but Lord, may our focus be upon You. Lord, help us to realize that we do not find our peace and our joy in those ever-changing circumstances, but rather our peace and joy comes from You. Lord, today as we enter into this season of thanksgiving, may we truly be thankful not just for a season, but Father, for the rest of our lives on a daily basis, beginning right now. For God, You are truly good, and You are truly good all the time. Lord, help me as Your messenger for today and Your messenger for these moments to truly lift You up in such a fashion that You will draw all men unto You. May we leave having been touched by Your word and by the Holy Spirit. For Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we get to these particular passages right here, he begins to list the complaints. How many of us complain? Come on, be honest. How many of you get on your soapbox? You'll get on that little rant. Have you ever done that? You just, almost to the point where you're out of breath. You know, you're like, rah, rah, rah. When you finally just blow your stack, you go and go and go until you have to stop to catch your breath or you're going to pass out. You know, it's like, and everybody around just like, it's quiet. Your chest hurts. You have just gone off on this rant. Now, I don't want to say that Habakkuk's rant was as such, but what he's doing in these passages is he is beginning to outline the circumstances and the situations that are taking place in and amidst his life. Look at it, verse 17. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom. Now, you got to remember these were sources of food. Yeah, they didn't run down to the Lowe's food or the food line or anything like that. You know, their food came from what grew. If it was a bad year, it was a bad year. People went hungry. So you have to understand, it says that though the fig tree may not blossom, I've always been and shared many times with you the story, not necessarily of some sort of a fruit-bearing tree or what have you, but I get impatient with things. I mean, I planted, y'all have heard my rhododendron story, right? Planted that thing in years and years and years. That stupid thing just took up space. That's all it did. It didn't have a flower one on it. And I said to myself, you know what? That thing is getting ready to go out of this yard because it's not doing what it is supposed to be doing. It is supposed to have pretty flowers on it. I grew up in West Virginia, and that is the West Virginia state flower, and that one is letting me down. It's going away from here. And then Janet, no, give it time, give it time. I'm like, time? I've given it years. That's enough time. No, give it another year. And then the next year, that thing bloomed, and it had really pretty blooms on it. And it had a lot of them, kind of a purpley kind. I thought, wow, glad I waited. And then the next year, it didn't bloom. I think it just tries my patience. I don't know what it is about that thing. It just hangs on. But yet, I was about ready to mow that thing down. Now, get what's going on. Here's a fig tree. It is designed to be able to provide food. Though the fig tree, verse 17, may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. Not only is the fig tree not doing its thing, neither are the grapevines. There's no fruit on the vines whatsoever. People are going hungry. They were a lot more frustrated than I was because I wasn't counting on my rhododendron to feed me, but they were counting on this as a means of sustenance for their family and themselves. It says, though the labor of the olive may fail. Oh, mercy, we don't even have olive oil. We don't have any. Everything is looking bad. You have to understand the time and the days to get the picture of how bad this was. This was a critical type of a situation. The crops weren't doing well. People were hungry. We've read about droughts throughout the Bible, haven't we? Remember the drought back in the days of Joseph when the king had put him over the food? Remember he told the story of the dream that the king had, where it was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Joseph, even being a prisoner, starts giving advice to the king. He says, well, king, if I was you, during that that 7 years of plenty, I would store up because there's going to be 7 years of bad. And a king, being the king that he was, said, that sounds like a good idea. You're in charge. Go do it. And that's what he did. Well, remember, they kept coming to him, you know, for food. The people said, look, we're starving to death. You know, Joseph's like, yeah, we'll sell you food. A little while later, they came back and said, well, Joseph, we're still starving to death, but we don't have any money. He goes, well, you got livestock, don't you? Bring that on down. Well, we'll take that. And then yet a third time, they came back and said, Joseph, we're starving to death, and we don't have no money, and we ain't got no livestock. He says, well, you got land, don't you? Just bring your title on by here. At the end of 7 years, do you realize that the king owned everything? Be careful. Okay? Owned it all. Now those people that had those farms were working for the king. Now all the crops, as they came out of the drought, all of that was going to the king. They were just workers on what used to be their property through the drought. Okay? So droughts were bad things. I mean, people would starve to death. And he goes on, he says this in verse 17, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, all the animals have died too. They don't have fresh beef. They don't have anything. I would be willing to say that they were encountering some pretty bad times. Wouldn't you agree? He's just listed what is going on. Now, I want us to make application to our lives today. How many of y'all have stuff going on in your lives? You know how I define stuff. You have stuff going on in your life. This has been trying. Some of the stuff has been caused because of the pandemic. I mean, you think about people who've lost their jobs. They've lost their incomes. You think about how all these things have taken place. Everybody has been shoved out into new areas, uncharted waters and uncharted territories, and it's been tough. And why is it tough? Let me tell you why it's tough. Because we don't like change, do we? Where are my people who admit I don't like change? You like things exactly the way that you think they should go on a daily basis. How many of you are sitting in the same place you sit every Sunday? Hey, hallelujah. There you go. We don't like change. When change comes, it starts to throw us. It starts to twist us around. And we're like, huh? And we start to become anxious over things such as that. Now all of a sudden, this is something that's out of their control. They can't help it that all these things have taken place and all these things that have happened. Remember what I said? We like to be in control, don't we? Where are my control freaks? You like control? Come on, attaboy. Type A's. You like to be in control. That's the way she rolls. And when it's something that happens that you cannot fix, that you cannot change, you feel like the most helpless person in the world. And all God's people said, amen. There's nothing that you can do about it. Folks, that is when God wants to do His best in your life and in your circumstances. You know why? Because you can't take credit for it. Only He can. Do you think that God was aware of what was going on in the land during the time of Habakkuk? He did. Do you think He realized all these things that Habakkuk listed? Did you think God realized that the fig tree wasn't blossoming? Yes, He did. Do you think He realized that there was no fruit on the vine? Yes, He did. Do you think that He realized that there were no olives to be had and pressed for oil and food and everything? Yeah, He did. He said, the fields don't have any food in them. God knew that. And it says, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, they had nothing. And God realized it. But then He goes on and says this. Did He go out there and jump off of the highest building? No. Did He go out there and blame somebody for it? Yeah, it's been very interesting that over my lifetime, when I've seen people in this type of situation, do you realize that one of the main people that they blame in these situations is God? And instead of going to Him and praising God, it's all God's fault. Yeah, God, it's your fault. If you were a good God, we wouldn't be here where we are. We wouldn't be hungry as we are. You wouldn't have taken this loved one of mine. You wouldn't have done all these things. So, God, I'm mad at you. Remember what we said a little while ago? God has plans for us, and they are plans to prosper us, plans to do us good. Here's the problem. Are you ready? Buckle up. Here's the problem. The problem is we are on our agenda instead of God's agenda. Ouch. You know what God says? God says, sometimes I have to smash your sandcastles so I can build mine. Sometimes I have to get in circumstances like that to get you over to my way of thinking, to get you onto my page. And sometimes the only way I can do that is to take complete control away from you. Because we start to get antsy when we lose control, don't we? So Habakkuk is expressing everything that's going on. It sounds like some pretty bad days, doesn't it? Yeah, again, I think about some of our brothers and sisters that are around the world who literally, have no food. Times even when we've been on the mission field and to find a tomato was a big deal. To eat a bell pepper was a meal. And we look at them and go, I don't like bell peppers. Let me put it to you this way. If you don't like a bell pepper, you ain't never been hungry. We'll say, well, I like them as long as they're stuffed with a pound of hamburger with some ketchup on the top of it. That's the way I like my bell pepper. No, I'm talking about just pick it off the vine and eat it. I'm talking about a tomato being a meal, a cucumber being a meal to feed a family of three or four. Most of us haven't undertaken that ordeal. Yeah, most of us haven't. I had a lady the last time we had a chance to go to Cuba scared me to death at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping in my little concrete room, and this lady screamed this chilling, blood-curdling scream at 5 a.m., and I came straight out of bed ready to go to battle. Went down the hall to see what the problem was. And she had tears in her eyes. And, of course, the translator met us out there, too, thank God, because I don't speak Spanish. And I'm like, what's going on? What's happening? He goes, oh, she was just excited. I was like, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. He goes, yeah. He said, they haven't had coffee around here in 2 months. And you see, we bought them coffee while we were there because they couldn't get it. And she smelled coffee at 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, how many of you all, now some of y'all are going to go, if I said, how many of you all would be that excited over a cup of coffee? Some of y'all are going, oh. I mean, just simple little things that we take for granted all the time. We're entering a season of Thanksgiving where we need to show our gratitude. So Habakkuk, yeah, listen, he's listed all these things, not so that he can do them as a complaint. Let's go on. Look at verse 18. He lists all this stuff, and he says that here are the circumstances in my life. Here are all the things that are going wrong. But verse 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Did you get that? Look at it again. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How difficult is it for us in the midst of our trials and circumstances and ever-changing circumstances, I might add, how difficult is it for us to truly, with a heart of admiration and thanksgiving, look to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Lord, I realize that the cabinets are bare, but you're God. Lord, I realize that we don't have no meat in the freezer, but you are good. Lord, I realize, see, here's what we have forgotten. You know what we've forgotten? We are one of His children. Now, I would never ask for a show of hands, but some of you all, whether you are here in this place or whether you are watching online, some of you have been to in a position before where you have gone hungry so that your children can eat. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on that. Some of you have been in a position where you have done without so that somebody else could have. One of your family members, one of your children, or whatever. Yeah, the love of a mama, let's just put it that way. You understand what that's like. And I think about when we consider our Heavenly Father, where He says this. He says, yeah, fathers and mothers, you would not give substandard things to your children. You want to provide for them the very, very best. And the Word goes on and tells us, and knowing how God loves us as best we can understand, we can't even fathom the love God has for us. Imagine how much you love your children, how much you will do for your children. That is only a fraction of how God loves us and what God wants to do for us. See, we forget that, don't we? We sit back and go, well, God, you just don't want me to have this, or you don't want me to do that, or you don't want whatever. God, it's your fault that we're in the condition or position or situation that we're in. Instead of hitting our knees and saying, Lord, I want to thank you today. Listen, I don't know about you, but I was thankful today that I had heat in my house. Amen? I'm thankful today that there's food in a cabinet and I'm going to be able to eat today. I don't have to wonder where lunch is going to come from. And chances are, most of us in here don't. Now, I've said this so many times. Now, let's talk about our gratefulness for a minute. How many times have you gone to the refrigerator and you've opened it up and you've stood there and you've stared in it? And you go, we just don't have anything to eat. And that refrigerator's full. That freezer's full. That cupboard's full. You'll close the refrigerator, go over to the cabinet, you'll open it up and go, We just don't have anything to eat. No, no, no. You have a lot of stuff to eat. It's just not something that you want. Amen? Now listen, God did not say in His Word that I will provide all of your wants. He said I will provide all of your... We get that mixed up, don't we? Often we get that mixed up. The difference between our needs and our wants. And Habakkuk lays it out, and I mean, this is a critical situation. And he says, yet, despite all this, despite no food, despite no meat, despite all these things, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Are we doing that today? Are we rejoicing in the Lord? Remember what I said as I started this message. A lot of us are going through a lot of stuff, a lot of hard times, a lot of circumstances, a lot of situations. Again, I remind you, none of them have taken God by surprise, not one single one. And in the midst of that, are we able to sit back and take joy in the Lord, or have we gotten mad at Him? Have we gotten mad at other people? Yeah, listen, I know people today that are mad at everything. Know what I'm saying? They're mad at everything. They're mad at life. They're mad at themselves. They're mad at their family. They're mad at God. They are just grumpy people. And here's part of the problem. Part of the problem is that we as Christians have become that too. We can't get along with each other. We argue with one another. We cut each other down. We talk about each other behind our backs. That is not praising God. You cannot sit back and do those things and then out of the same mouth come in and praise God and Him be happy with it. You cannot do it. Sometimes I think God puts us in the corner. I'm not going to call it time out. Time out, that's your recovery time after you sass mom or dad. That time out's how long you were out before you came to. But I remember when I was in elementary school, though, I'd have to sit in the corner. Anybody ever have to sit in the corner? Like, what's that all about? Well, I was designed to keep you away from all your classmates that you were busy talking to or raising havoc and mayhem with or whatever. And some of you all had those stubborn wills and said, I'll sit in this corner the rest of the year if I have to. Okay. Well, that's not a problem. What we thought is, I'll show that teacher. It won't hurt my feelings a bit. Now, you didn't show that teacher. What you didn't realize was the teacher accomplished exactly what she wanted to accomplish, was getting you away from talking to all your friends and everything else and then doing your assignment. How many times are we that little boy in the corner that thinks we're one-upping the teacher while all the while God is taking us exactly where He wants us to be? Well, I'll show you, God. No, you won't. Let me make you a promise. You will not show God anything. But He'll show you something. How stubborn is our attitude? How stubborn is our will? He goes on, He says this. After he lays out what He's going to do, He says, I'm going to rejoice. Can you rejoice in the midst of your stuff today? Some of y'all are going, I'll try. Some of y'all are going, I don't know how to do that. No? Okay, well, here, let me give you the first step. Are you ready for this? This is walking with Jesus 101. You ready for it? Shut this and open these. Oh, preacher, you're meddling again. Some of us need to just shut our pie hole and open our ears. Some of us' mouth is way, way too engaged, and our ears quit a long time ago. You ever had people do that? I've used this example a thousand times. I'm going to use it a thousand more. Willy Wonka. Everybody's seen Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. Again, not that dumb new one, but the old one. Gene Wilder and all that, you know what I'm talking about? But remember, Willy Wonka was telling the kids, oh, don't listen, don't do that. As the movie progressed, you finally saw him go, no, don't, stop, quit. Because he knew they weren't listening to him. Folks, sometimes we're too busy operating in God's permissive will instead of His perfect will. What's God telling you today in the midst of your circumstances? Because here's what I know. God's got some ideas ahead in your life, in those things that look terribly bad. But a lot of it, he can't get across to us because we're too busy complaining. Have you ever noticed that somebody that's complaining is not listening? Somebody that's complaining is not looking for a solution or resolution. They're busy complaining. They're on the rant. Where's the Tylenol? You know what I'm talking about. All the while, God's like, "You done? You finished yet? I got a plan. If you'll just stop for a minute, be still, shut this, open these, we're going to get down the road together." We need to rejoice, verse 18, in the Lord. He says, "I will joy in the God of my salvation." Now catch verse 19. "The Lord God is my strength." I'm going to pause right there for just a moment. See, we're oftentimes busy believing that we are our own strength, don't we? We are doing things in our own will, in our own accord, and we are in... Remember what I said a minute ago? We don't like it when there's circumstances and situations that we cannot handle. When they're out of our control, we don't like those sort of things. It never should have been in our control to start with, because God should be in control of our lives, right? He's the one who should be in control. The Lord God is my strength. If you are looking for strength today through the midst of the circumstances and the midst of the battles that you're in, then look in the right place. Look towards the Lord. The Lord God is my strength. He is my rock. He is my refuge. If you are counting on the government, forget it. If you are counting on people, forget it. If you are counting on something else, forget it. You have placed your trust and admiration in the wrong place, because only the Lord God deserves your admiration. Only the Lord God is the one who can provide your strength for the journey. So where are you looking? Are you looking towards Him? Or are you looking elsewhere? You know, all of us can look around and we can see things that have just fallen apart, including right here, right? Think it caught God by surprise? Nope. Can we joy in the Lord where we are? You know, we could change this around and say, "Lord, though all the pews may not be full, we will rejoice in you. Lord, though we're looking a little thin back here, we're still going to rejoice in you. Lord, we ain't got a whole lot of people that are showing up for Sunday school, but we're still going to rejoice in you." See, I think sometimes what God wants us to do is refocus on Him and His strength. And then let me tell you what else I know. We have everything we need to be what God wants us to be right here. He is our strength. The Lord God, verse 19, is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And some of y'all look at that and go, "That don't make sense. What, skinny and spindly? You ever seen a deer's legs?" Well, I can tell you I have. Usually it's what they're waving their tail at me as they run away from me when I'm up a tree in the woods. The other thing is they're quick. I had one walk up on me when I was hunting one day. I was ground hunting just for a few minutes, and a deer walked around right in front of me. I was sitting in like a brush pile, and that thing was no more than 4 feet away from me. And it was a buck, and it turned, and it was staring me right in the eye. And I was sitting there real still. I had my rifle across my lap. And that thing was looking at me, and I was looking at it. And I thought, I'll just be real still. And then you ever realize your mind will start playing games with you? Because I kept saying, "That's a deer, and that's a buck. It's only about 4 feet away from me. What if it charges me and gores me? What if nobody ever finds my body down in this brush pile down here? because it was staring at me, and all of a sudden it looked mean. And I thought, then I was like, I can't get my gun up in time to defend myself. What am I going to do? And I started breathing heavy, and my heart was beating. I was like, and that deer's looking at me like, because I had a camo mask on the whole night. But yet the whole while I was releasing the safety on my rifle. And I thought, I'm going to get it real quick before it gets me. The Rambo ain't got nothing on me. And all the while I stared at that deer, I forgot that the safety would click if I didn't let it off properly. And when that safety clicked, that deer took off, scared me to death, about had to change my undergarments. It looked like Vietnam. I was shooting at that deer, and I never hit it. I was shooting at it with an SKS. I burnt through a whole mag of rounds, never hit it. Let me tell you about deer's feet. See, there is a point to that story. Look at it, verse 19. He will make my feet like deer's feet. I'm an expert marksman, according to the Lynchburg Police Department, and I missed a deer 4 feet in front of me. Many times over. You know why? Have you ever noticed a deer? A deer doesn't run straight. They're all over the place. And they're fast. They jump 6-8 foot fences and clear them. I'll tell you this, I'd like to have some moves like a deer, wouldn't you? Hey, go back verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. Woo-wee. And he will make me walk on my high hills. He will elevate us. He will put us in the right place. Not you. You can't do it. If you're counting on anything but God, get used to where you are. Because you can't do it in and of yourself. And by the way, that was a song too. Notice what it says. It says, to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. Something special about music, isn't it? Music is part of worship. I've said that many, many times. We don't do that because, listen, I can feel more than an hour. And I think all of y'all are going, yeah, we know that. We don't need filler. I don't need filler. I could preach for days if you want me to. We don't do that just to have something to do. We do that because it is designed to bring us into the presence of the Father. It is worship as well. Think about the songs that you sang today. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. Have we done that? Think about the words that you just sang in these songs. Did you do it on autopilot? Some of y'all are going, what were the songs we sang a little while ago? Doggone it, I don't have a bulletin that I can go back and look at them. Well, I gave you a hint. Did we sing those from our heart? Or did we sing them simply from our lips? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Sometimes we get on cruise control. And the Lord says, I want you to focus upon me. He says, I know that the fig tree isn't blooming. I'm the one who told it not to. I know that there are no grapes on the vine because I told them not to come out. I know that there's no livestock in the barn because I orchestrated that. Oh yeah, I did it for your good. See, that's our disconnect sometimes. How's that for our good? Sometimes we need to be grateful and thankful. Some of us haven't been hungry enough to truly be thankful when we ask our blessing. I've said it before. We will sit back and we will habitually do our meal prayer. Then we'll forget that we even said, did we say the blessing yet? if you're hungry enough, when somebody puts that piece of meat in front of you, you're going to be going, oh, Lord, thank you. Whew. My belly gets to quit growling. I get to be strengthened. I get to feel good this evening. I know people and serve with people that every day they don't know where their next meal's coming from. And they're thankful when they get it. God has blessed us, and He has blessed us indeed. Are we grateful to Him? Are we truly celebrating Thanksgiving every day of our lives? Every day that we have the opportunity to walk on that higher ground. So if you're in the middle of a bunch of stuff, I want to encourage you today to start praising God. I want to encourage you today to say, you know what, that doesn't matter. This is temporary. My house is temporary. My car is temporary. We're not going to drive in heaven. We just think about it, we're there. Yeah. My bank account is going to be in some heathen hands after I'm gone because I'm not going to need it. I mean, you know, if God paves the streets of heaven with gold that is so pure and clear that it is transparent, I mean, that's like you thinking you're taking it with you is like carrying a load of pavement up to heaven. Don't make sense, does it? What are we vesting ourselves into right here? I am thankful today for the opportunity to speak God's word to God's people. I am thankful today I got up. I'm thankful today I can see. I am thankful today that I had clothing. I'm thankful today for the many, many blessings. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my my friends. I'm thankful for my colleagues. I'm thankful for them little shoe boxes that we're going to be handling today that are going to be used in the life of some child. I'm thankful for a truck to put them in to be able to take them over there. Listen, if you start doing what the old hymn tells us to do, you know what the old hymn tells us to do? The old hymn tells us to count our many blessings, right? Count your blessings, name them one by one. You're not going to have time to be wrapped up in your stuff. If you're wrapped up in your stuff, I want to encourage you to do this today or sometime this week. Get you a piece of paper out and start writing down blessings. And start counting them. Because all of a sudden you're going to see how God has showed up in your life big time. And then we can kind of let go of the selfish things that we're holding on to that are hindering us from what God would have us to do. Are you thankful? I'm thankful for you. I am thankful that God gave me this day. I am thankful that God brought me here. There's a lot of other places we could be, right? I'm glad to be here today. There's no other place I'd rather be. I'm going to ask Brad and our musicians if they would take their place. In just a moment, we're going to have our time of invitation. But today, remember what I said at the start of this message? I said if... If you've came here today seeking a blessing, then the Lord spoke to you. But what did He say to you? Did He say, you're doing great, keep up the good work? Or did He say, okay, I got a list of things we need to talk about? Listen, if that's you, then I want to encourage you to deal with those things God pointed out today to you. Because God has truly been good to you. And we need to give thanks. If you're here today and you have never trusted Him, you've never placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you've been a good church person, you've been a good giver, you've been all these things, but you're not a Christian. Hell's going to be full of good givers and good church attenders and everything else. It's those who have given their heart and their life and given control over to the Master. Have you done that? Have you asked forgiveness of your sin? Have you asked the Lord to save your soul? You can do that today. Listen, don't delay. Do it right now. As a matter of fact, just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, today I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save my soul. Listen, if you did that, He's done it. He said, that's it. Now, he says, I want you to live for me. Don't think that's just the end. That's just the beginning. Now that you have the Holy Spirit, he says, I want you to live as the Spirit directs you. And that will be in accordance to his word. Okay? Listen, we want to celebrate with you. If you did that today, please let us know. Listen, if you're part of our online audience and you trusted Christ today, let Doc Cazito know. He's going to let me know that. And give us a call. We want to follow up with you. We don't want to harass you. We want to celebrate, number one. And number two, we want to help get you on that path to grow in grace of our Savior. Today, maybe we just need to leave some things because, listen, we are a number one complainers, and I am the chief of all. And sometimes God is like, are you done yet? Stop. Just stop and listen. Because if you'll listen, I'll show you the way. Do you need this altar? Do you need me? Whatever you need, I'm going to ask that we deal with what the Lord put in our heart right now, whether you're here or whether you're online, as we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn. Are closed as you continue to do business with God. Have you heard the soft and tender calling of Him in your life? He's not screaming. He's not going to try to outshout you. He is allowing you to be quiet to hear His still small voice. Are you hearing it today? You do business with God. As you do, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way to the front.
To the Lord in a word of prayer as we return thanks and return to Him the tithe and offering. Father, as we come to you today, once again we realize that everything that we are and everything that we have comes from you. Today, Lord, is that time and that moment when you give us the opportunity to be obedient, to give that portion that you have requested back from us. So, Lord, help us to be found faithful in doing so. Lord, I pray that we would do so not simply because of what you will do for us, but that our obedience may be truly out there and truly in front of you. Help us, Father, to be wise with the tithe and the offering as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have all
Y'all are quiet. Y'all act like church people today. Let me give you a couple of announcements and a couple of things that we have just going on real quick as far as opportunities of this week. If you have a chance to see, text, send an email to Elizabeth Fondo. Her birthday is tomorrow. That's Jonathan's offspring that keeps him straight. Let's just put it that way. Debbie's fine. Jonathan just needs a little help. But nonetheless, also Addie McDonald, that's the daughter of Jim and Debbie. Her birthday is this coming Thursday. And then as far as anniversaries, this coming Friday is Kay and Randall Kaiser. So if you send cards, make calls, send texts, whatever, be sure to let those folks know. We'll be celebrating with them today as we go forward. And Brad, have you got that paper over there? I wrote some announcements down on it. It was sitting here. I think I added to them. There we go. There we go. I grabbed the wrong one. All right, just a real quick couple of things that we've got coming up, just so that folks know. Don't forget, there is a building and grounds meeting at 4 o'clock today. I'm assuming that's still right. If it's not, okay. Yes, 4 o'clock today, building and grounds meeting. We have our regular church conference tonight, immediately following our evening worship service. So be sure to be here for that conference. We will also be voting on next year's budget. So we've had those out in the vestibule and or the narthex, as well as the vestibule of the other building. Be sure to pick those up, check them over. That will be done tonight. Also, if you are interested in helping out with the coffee shop, we need a few more volunteers. That is Cindy over there. Wave Cindy. Let Cindy know. She would love to have you on board to help out with the coffee shop for Sunday mornings. Just as a reminder, we will not be having youth tonight because I will be over here doing prayer meeting because David is still tending to Donna, who actually had to go back to the hospital. I know if you've been following things on email, she had to go back to the hospital. She's got an infection. So I will be doing prayer meeting in here tonight, so we won't have youth. Pray for us as we deliver Operation Christmas Child boxes this afternoon. Somewhere around 1,100, I think, is what we've... 1,138 boxes we've collected so far. Give them a hand. We will be getting those over to Westover today to be put on the tractor-trailer truck to head up to, I believe that one's going to Charlotte, I think, so for the sorting center there. Don't forget, we will not have Awana tonight. Once again, we've had exposures to COVID and other things, so we're trying to make sure our kids are safe. We will not be having Awana tonight. And just as a reminder, we're not going to break suit for this week. What we normally do is because a lot... How many of y'all cook on Wednesday night or Wednesday evening or have family over for Thanksgiving? Come on. None of y'all. Y'all just get a canned ham, throw it out there on Thursday morning. Okay. Well, what we've always done is instead of having prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings, we would do it on Tuesday evening to give you time to spend with family and for those of you who are cooking, time to be able to do that. Even though we're still doing it virtually, we are still going to do that. So the Bible study for Wednesday evening will be released at 6 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday evening rather than on Wednesday evening. Now, it'll still be up there. It'll stay up as a recorded video, but that way that'll give you a chance to still be a part of the Bible study and still be caught up and not have to use your Wednesday when you're cooking. And some of y'all sit back and say, well, I'll just listen to you while I'm cooking. Okay, I don't care. That's good for me. Just toss me a piece of turkey every now and then. I'll be okay. But at any rate, I pray that you all have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. We look forward to seeing you this evening, but if we don't have that opportunity, I pray that you will enjoy time with family and friends this coming Thursday as we celebrate Thanksgiving. And may we celebrate true Thanksgiving every day, not just once a year. Let's all stand and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we once again take this moment, this time, this opportunity to thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, help us today truly to count our blessings. You've given us so much. You've done so much for us. Lord, help us not to grumble about the things we don't have and the things that we want. Lord, you told us you will provide and supply for all of our needs, and you have done that in an incredible fashion. Lord, may we truly be focused upon you, and may our gratitude be in the right place as we count our blessings, not only this Thursday, but every day of our life. Guard, guide, and protect each and every one of us. Bring us back again that we might worship you together as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you.